from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every single weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button. You can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya, or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Then you can get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. The Locked On NBA Mock Draft is underway. The local experts are in every draft room. Jeremy Wu of SI.com with the player breakdowns and Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball with the fantasy breakdown. All at Locked On NBA. Coming up on today's show, we get to talk about the Giants' 9-2 loss to the Dodgers in Los Angeles. Another rough first inning, another bad start for Drew Pomeranz, who had had two consecutive good starts, but this one not so much. So we'll talk about the Giants' continuing first inning woes, home runs in this game by Tyler Austin and Mike Yastrzemski. We'll definitely get into those as well. And then we'll take a brief look at another article that I had a little bit of an issue with the tone of the article. But first, their record with the 9-2 loss, the Giants fell to 31-41. They have a minus 97 run differential, which is by far the worst in the National League. The next closest team is the Pirates at minus 77. That run differential for the Giants has an expected win-loss record of 26-46. So that's saying they should be 20 games under 500, and they're actually only 10 games under 500. So again, I say this pretty much every single day, but as bad as they've looked, they should be about 5 wins worse than they are right now. So yes, where else should we start other than the very beginning? We talked on yesterday's show about how the Giants should use openers against the Dodgers, and of course they did not. But sure enough, with the lefty Drew Pomeranz on the mound, the Dodgers go right, 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 left, right, left, right, right. So those lefties in there are Cody Bellinger and Alex Verdugo, who are not slouches. You know, Cody Bellinger is a threat against anybody. So the key point is that those first three batters, Kike Hernandez, Justin Turner, David Freese. If you start with a right-handed opener yesterday, they're either going to lay out that lineup regardless and you're actually going to have an advantage over them in the first inning, or they're going to be forced to adjust and not line up three righties in a row to face a vulnerable pitcher like Pomeranz. And sure enough, this game was over by the time the bottom of the first inning ended. Justin Turner singled, David Freese lined out, Cody Bellinger singled, and Chris Taylor hit a three-run homer. So the Giants now have an 8.38 earned run average in the first inning of games this year. They've allowed 67 earned runs, and I'm just going to ignore that and say they've allowed 71 runs in 72 first innings this season. It is just by far the worst in MLB. Next closest team has allowed 56 runs, so 15 fewer than the Giants. The Giants have allowed 28 first inning home runs. That's more than one every three games. The next closest team is Baltimore at 17 home runs allowed in the first. Opponents are hitting .322 with a .392 on base percentage and a .681 slugging percentage against the Giants in the first inning. That's just unbelievably ridiculous numbers. It's a .435 weighted on base average against them in the first inning. So that .435 weighted on base average in the first is about 15 points higher than Mike Trout's career weighted on base average. Every single batter in the first inning becomes a little bit better than Mike Trout against the Giants this year. So if I'm trying to win this year, like Bochy has said that he's trying to do, and I am, yes, placing the blame here on Bochy, not Farhan Zaidi, I'm strongly considering going back to using openers. I don't know why they haven't tried it again after that one time with Nick Vincent, and there were all these quotes from Zaidi saying, listen, we want to do it, we want our bullpen to get a chance to impact a game and to get to impact the game before the game is out of hand. So I don't know if it's a matter of pride with these starting pitchers, but they have nothing to be prideful about. They have just been embarrassingly bad in the first inning all season, very consistently. So like I said, the Dodgers scored three runs in the first, the Giants scored two runs in the game, so it was over after the first inning, and that has happened way too many times this season. In the third inning, it was 6-0, and there were still runners on base for the Dodgers. All told, Drew Pomeranz went 4 1/3, allowed 9 hits, 7 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, 3 home runs allowed. The ERA is now up to 7.09. Peripherals are better. He's got a 6 fielding independent pitching and a 4.69 expected fielding independent pitching based on normalizing the home run rate. But it looks pretty clear at this point that Drew Pomeranz is not going to be his season. I've said this multiple times as well, but it was a worthwhile gamble taking a shot on Drew Pomeranz, who was very successful from 2014 through 2017. Kind of collapsed and fell apart last year, much like we're seeing this year. But at like $2 million, a very worthwhile gamble, one-year deal, Giants are not locked up to him long-term. And in the position they're in, it wouldn't have made sense to make a long-term commitment to a pitcher into his 30s. So this is exactly the type of signing they should have made. And we're going to talk more about that later, about there's an article written that kind of criticizes them for making these signings. But even if they were good, the Giants would still be bad. So it really is no sweat off their back. It's just a matter of, are you going to give somebody else an opportunity at this point? More about openers. The Dodgers unintentionally kind of used an opener themselves when Rich Hill had to leave the game in the top of the second inning before he even threw a pitch because of forearm tightness, it was later revealed. So the Giants had stacked up their right-handed lineup against the left-handed pitcher Hill. They had Donovan Solano in there batting second, Tyler Austin batting third, Posey fourth, Longoria fifth. So they did stack up a bunch of righties. I mean, especially Solano and Austin, those are the guys who we mostly only see against lefties. But then, so Rich Hill pitches a scoreless first, and then all of a sudden the Dodgers go to a right-handed reliever, and then the Giants are in that exact position that I've been saying they should want to do to the Dodgers, where they've got their set right-handed lineup, and then all of a sudden there's a righty on the mound. And so what do? You either forfeit the platoon advantage for much of the game, or you pinch hit with lefties, and then you've already burned all of those righties that were in your starting lineup. So it worked against the Giants unintentionally by the Dodgers, but it just totally showed why that strategy can be effective. Although throwing that narrative on its head, Tyler Austin hit a solo home run against a right-handed pitcher in the fourth inning. It was an impressive homer. He very nearly hit one in the same spot yesterday, and he finally got one today. So Tyler Austin pretty clearly has some of the best raw power on this Giants team, if not number one. I mean, he probably has the most raw power of anyone on this Giants team, but he just continues, despite the home run, to struggle against right-handed pitching, and especially the strikeouts are a little bit out of control. All told on the year, he's striking out over 40% of the time, which is just too high. And I mean, I'm all for giving him a look against righties because the numbers against lefties are just really strong. So he should definitely be in there against lefties. But against righties in particular, he's striking out even more. Although, as we saw last night, the power is still in there. In the sixth inning, Mike Yastrzemski hit a home run off of a left-handed pitcher. So that was very good to see. Yastrzemski has been better as of late. And then in his next at-bat, he lined a ball down the left field line, opposite field, and the left fielder made a running catch. But if that ball had fallen in, suddenly Mike Yastrzemski would have been above average offensively on the season. All told, he's only been 4% below average at a .250 batting average, .316 on base, and .426 slugging. So those are intriguing numbers, and I do think they should continue to run him out there. Like I've said numerous times, league average would be a huge upgrade for the Giants in their outfield. Coming up in the next half of the show, we'll continue to talk about this game and the key points that are relevant to the longer term, because yes, it's a 9-2 loss. What really can you say? But really, the theme of this show, hopefully it's coming through, is talking about the bigger picture, because these individual games, there's no reason to break them down and just kind of talk about them like they're game 7 of the World Series. But in each game, meaningful things happen that can be relevant towards the future of this organization. So that's all coming up next. But first, okay, so as promised, we'll talk about the last of the relevant notes from this 9-2 loss to the Dodgers. We'll discuss a very interesting confrontation in the ninth inning, and then we'll talk briefly about this article that was written that I thought had a questionable tone to it. So more about Tyler Austin. Yes, he hit a home run in this game. The previous game made a nice defensive play in left field, a couple of them actually, and then very nearly missed hitting a tying two-run homer off of Kershaw. So last night, he did hit the home run, and then he made another good defensive play in left field. It was a bad break, so I'm hesitant to call it a good defensive play, because reading the the ball off the bat, getting a good jump, has a lot to do with what makes a good play, and that he's not very fast. So what becomes a diving play for him might not be a diving play for somebody else who can get there faster. But he threw Justin Turner out at second base in the seventh inning on a ball off the wall. So he's got a strong arm out there, and it's just impressive that he's willing to go out there and give it everything he's got. And then in the fifth inning, he had made a diving catch, very high level of difficulty on the dive. He caught the ball basket style with his glove, as opposed to normally when an outfielder is running in to make a diving catch, they turn their glove overhand, but he caught it underhand as he's full on diving for the ball and moving to his right. Anyway, the bigger picture point about Austin is that he does look like someone who at least could be a part of next year's Giants team, somebody they might want to bring back, especially, I mean, for his ability just to crush left-handed pitching. That has to have some value on a team like the Giants, who have essentially no one who can crush any handedness of pitching. Derek Rodriguez pitched 2 2/3 innings in relief. It seems like he often pitches in Pomeranz's starts because Pomeranz often gets shelled in the early going. Allowed 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, no walks, 1 home run. So the numbers aren't that great for Rodriguez either. Last year, he totally outperformed his peripherals, and this year it's just not happening at all. Reyes Maranta pitched for the first time in what seemed like a long time, threw a scoreless inning, 1 strikeout, 1 hit. In the top of the ninth, Joe Kelly faced Tyler Austin. And why is this relevant? Well, because back in the day when Tyler Austin was on the Yankees and Joe Kelly was on the Red Sox, they were involved in an intentional hit by pitch, and then Tyler Austin charged the mound on Joe Kelly. There was a whole story. Austin went hard into second base. The Red Sox took exception. They threw at him on purpose, and then Austin charged the mound. So it was high drama for me. Nobody on the TV or any of the writers were even talking about this at all. I'm assuming they don't know that this happened, but it was interesting to see, would Joe Kelly come inside with a pitch? How would Austin react? But Austin ended up striking out Joe Kelly, just threw some wicked fastballs down around the knees, and then got him to swing at a slider out of the zone. So good to see that that didn't escalate any further than it needed to. Last point, there was an article in The Athletic about the Giants starting pitching being awful. And yes, it has definitely been awful. But the point I take a little bit of exception with is that, you know, I guess it's just a fact, so I can't take that much exception with it. But the point is made that Pomeranz and Holland were two of the only guaranteed contracts handed out in the offseason by Farhan Zaidi. And it's true. They were some of the few guaranteed contracts handed out, and those two pitchers have been dreadful. But at the same time, I think it needed to be mentioned that they were extremely low-risk one-year deals. Pomeranz especially, he was coming off an awful season, so there was certainly no guarantee that he was going to suddenly turn it around and have a great season. It was a gamble. And the thing about Holland is he actually had quite a good season last year, so it was another low-risk gamble. Can he keep it going? Because he was so bad prior to last year. The question was, can he do it again in 2019? And it was a very worthwhile, short-term, low-cost investment. And plus, the Giants being where they are, they don't want to make a longer-term commitment. Like, they're not going to go out and sign Patrick Corbin for $140 million. It just doesn't make any sense at all, given where they stand roster-wise. They want to make one-year commitments, and Holland and Pomeranz were exactly the type of guys to make those commitments to. Guys with some upside, but also with some risk, so the cost was low. But if they performed up to their high level of possibility, then you have a massive bargain on your hands. It hasn't worked out that way, but the results don't do anything to disprove that it was the correct process. And like I said earlier in the show, even if those guys were having great seasons, the Giants would still very likely be well under 500. So it almost means nothing at all. They're just eating innings, playing the season out. They need guys to make those starts, and that's what they're doing. So anytime an article is written that just kind of says, oh, these were his only signings and they haven't been good, therefore he's not good, it just kind of misses the point. If they had signed Pomeranz to like a 5-year $50 million deal, then yes, I think that would deserve more criticism. But it was 1 year, $2 million roughly guaranteed. So that's nothing. And then if it doesn't work out, c'est la vie, and you move on, and next year you can start all over and try something else. So a lot of this probably stems from just having flawed expectations. For some reason, a lot of the writers thought that this team could contend when year after year they've shown that they're not going to be a contending team. Anyway, coming up tonight, the Giants will play the Dodgers in game 4 of this 4-game series. If they can get a win, they get a split in this 4-game series. So not all bad there. Madison Bumgarner will be on the mound for the Giants. Julio Urias getting the start for the Dodgers. Just another young, talented starting pitcher on LA. Big start for Madison Bumgarner. They're all big, but this one against the top team in the National League, the Los Angeles Dodgers. So you can be sure that anyone interested in acquiring Bumgarner, any team, is going to be watching this start closely. It will be interesting to see the Max Muncy confrontation with Bumgarner, see if there's any bad blood left over from those get it out of the ocean comments. Definitely is a possibility. I'm sure that didn't sit particularly well with Bumgarner. I wish it wouldn't be. He should just not react to it, but it's kind of in his nature, so we'll see what happens. Remember, to get this show every single weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. This is a daily show with new episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.